Hare Krishna, is there anyone else who wants to introduce? Okay, Mataji, then can we start recording? Yeah, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji to enlighten us on Sri Brihad Bhagavatamran. So today is the 41st session of Book 2. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association and time. So now I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. I hope my voice is clear. Thank you so much for your warm introduction, and thanks to all the devotees who joined today and chanted so beautifully. Thanks to all the kids who chanted so beautifully. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing to read from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is book 2. Book 2 is the journey of Gopakumar all the way to Goloka Vrindavan, and also how he delivers this Brahmana who traveled from Pragjyotishpur. He was actually called as the Mathura Brahmin, and finally his identity was revealed as Janasharma. So by the mercy of Gopakumar, how Janasharma also perfected his life was described. So we are towards the fag end, where we are just seeing the different glories of Vrindavan Dham, especially the residents of Vrindavan Dham. That's what we are doing now. So far we have been seeing about the glories of the Vrindavan Vrajabhumi, the Bhumi itself, the mountains, then the clouds, and then the rivers, the creepers, trees, the bees, the waterfowls, the birds that sit on trees, the deer, cows, bulls, buffaloes, and all other animals. And then we saw the glories of the Pulinda and the Abira women, the tribal women. And then we also saw, yes, in our previous session, the glories of the cowherd boys. And today's session, we will see about the parents of Krishna in Vatsalya Rasa. So that's what we are going to do today. We'll start with the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Krupa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Tarinam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swami Niti Namini Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Masadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare So we have been seeing about the glorious residents of Vrindavan, and now we are going to enter and see the glories of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. So as the trend has been with Parikshit Maharaj, he's been quoting various verses from the Bhagavatam, and then he talks about these verses in glorification of the devotees. So in the same trend, we are going to continue and see about the glories of especially Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So the first verse that Parikshit Maharaj quotes is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, verse number 46. So we'll recite the verse and see the meaning. Sri Raja Uvacha Nandaha Kim Makarod Brahman Shriya Evam Mahodayam Yashoda cha Mahabhaga Papau Yashaha Stanam Harihi. The meaning, the translation of this verse is, O learned Brahmana, Mother Yashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to thus achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.46. So in this verse, Shukadev Goswami, he explains to Parikshit Maharaj the special favor that was shown to Mother Yashoda. at this point in time, in this chapter in Bhagavatam, Krishna, he showed his universe, he showed the universe within his mouth to Yashodama. But then while Krishna made himself known as the Supreme Lord in front of the Vrajavasis, especially Mother Yashoda, he also made sure that he showered his extra special mercy on Mother Yashoda in a way that he covered Mother Yashoda's consciousness with his unique Yogamaya potency and made her forget that what she saw was actually something very great. So initially she could see the universe and she was bewildered. She was thinking about the supremacy of Krishna because it was suddenly revealed to her. But then immediately Yogamaya covered her in moments and she couldn't really see Krishna as God after that. Rather, she always considered him as her little son. So this was the special mercy and benediction that was bestowed by Krishna personally on Mother Yashoda. He never wanted her to lose her feelings of considering Krishna as her own son. So this is actually the devotional success of Nanda and Mother Yashoda. And therefore in this verse, they are described as Mahodayam. Mahodayam means they have attained the greatest perfection. And this greatest perfection that Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj have achieved is unequaled. It is just unequaled and nobody can come close to it, including the parents of Krishna who are Vasudeva and Devaki. So Vasudeva and Devaki, they gave birth to Krishna, meaning they were the parents of Krishna who gave birth to Krishna, as it is described in the Bhagavatam. But even Vasudeva and Devaki, they did not have the special favor. And it is proven, this point is being proven in the very next text of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is 10.8.47, where Parikshit Maharaj states, although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki, and he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes, which are so great that simply chanting about them vanquishes the contamination of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, however, enjoyed these pastimes fully, and therefore their position is always better than Vasudev and Devaki. So this is the very next verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where this point is being described that Vasudeva and Devaki were actually Krishna's parents, but they were definitely less fortunate than Nanda and Yashoda, because Nanda and Yashoda had the special privilege of witnessing Krishna's beautiful childhood pastimes. So to witness Krishna's childhood pastimes is a great benediction. And these childhood pastimes of Krishna, they bestow everything to the people who are able to relish it. They are able to bestow enjoyment, liberation, devotional service, and ecstatic love. Everything can be attained when one hears the wonderful, enchanting childhood pastimes of Krishna. So these childhood pastimes of Krishna, they are so glorious that everybody glorifies them. Even Brahma and Vyasadeva, who are great poets, even they are glorifying these childhood pastimes of Krishna. And when these pastimes are sung, they are meant especially to uproot all the anarthas in one's heart. So the more we hear the childhood pastimes of Krishna, the more we become purified. Especially these pastimes are very, very relishable and they are very potent in a way that they are able to uproot all the evils of this age of Kali. So when this age of Kali is filled with so many faults, when pure devotees are able to hear and glorify Krishna's childhood pastimes, then that can actually remove the misery that all living beings are actually undergoing. Just by hearing and chanting, one develops this high quality of prema, which can actually steady the mind in one sense. And when one develops this prema and goes to the higher states of prema, at one point, all his speech faculty completely stops. Speech faculty completely stops because he's completely immersed in the thoughts of the Lord. Another way of understanding this is that when one develops, when one hears the glories of Krishna and when chants the glories of Krishna, at that time, his speech stops, meaning all the mundane speech of this person, the mundane impersonal thoughts or discussions or anything, any material talk automatically stops because the heart is filled with contentment of hearing these beautiful pastimes. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam describes that some wonderful pranks were shown by Krishna, especially to Nanda and Yashoda, and therefore Krishna gave them abundant mercy by exhibiting these beautiful pastimes. So therefore, surely Yashoda is very, very special. Very special because she witnessed all these childhood pastimes of Krishna firsthand. Now, someone may argue and say that no, Yashoda is actually on the same level as Devaki, who's also his mother. Both of them are his mother. So both of them are on the same level and both of them fed their milk to Krishna. But however, this particular verse that we read, these two verses, they prove that actually Yashoda had more fortune than mother Devaki, though both of them fed their milk to Krishna. Still, Yashoda is definitely much more fortunate because only Yashoda could firsthand witness all these captivating pastimes of Krishna. Now, when we say both Yashoda and Devaki fed their milk to Krishna, is it true? Did Devaki actually feed her milk to Krishna? Because we know that on the very first day when Krishna was born, he was taken by Vasudev on the other side of the Yamuna and he was given to Mother Yashoda. So is it true that even Devaki had the opportunity to feed her milk? There is a verse in the 10th canto that describes this aspect that actually Devaki did have an opportunity to feed her milk on the very first day. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 10, chapter 85, verse number 55. While narrating how Krishna recovered his dead elder brothers of Krishna, Shukadev Goswami, he brings about this verse. So this is chapter 85 in the 10th canto. This chapter talks about how Krishna brought back the dead sons of Devaki. So we all know that before Devaki was conceived with Balaram and Krishna, she did have six sons who died right after they were born by evil Kamsa. Now, these are called as the Shadgarbhas. So, in this chapter, actually, Devaki had a request to Krishna when Krishna was old. And when he was in Dwaraka, Devaki had a request to him and she requested him to bring back the dead sons of hers. Because she was really, she did hear that Krishna brought back the dead son of his spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. And thinking about it, Devaki requested her own son if he could bring back the dead sons of hers. So while narrating that pastime, Shukdev Goswami, he chanted a particular verse. And this is Canto 10, Chapter 85, verse number 55. So in this verse 55, the translation of this verse is, by drinking Devaki's nectarian milk, the remnants of what Krishna himself had drunk, the six sons touched the transcendental body of the Lord Narayan, and this contact awakened them to their original identities. So this is very, very nice because these six sons who were brought back by Krishna had the opportunity to take the remnants of the milk that Krishna had taken. Therefore, they were delivered and their original identities were awakened. So this verse actually in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it confirms that Krishna did drink a few drops of milk from Devaki's breast. So right after Krishna's birth, when they were in prison, when Devaki and Vasudev were in prison, they begged this four-armed Krishna who was born. Krishna took his four-armed form and he showed his opulence in front of Devaki and Vasudev. So at that time, Vasudev and Devaki, they begged this four-armed Krishna to take the form of a simple child with two arms. So at that time, when this child took the form of two-armed Krishna, that time for a few minutes, Devaki did give her milk so that Krishna wouldn't feel thirsty during his trip to Nanda's Vrajabhumi. So when Vasudev was carrying away Krishna to Vraja, at that time, Devaki's thought was that my child who's just born should not feel thirsty during his trip. So therefore, she did give her milk at that time. And this is confirmed in the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as well as in the purports of the 10th canto. In our books, we see this comment being mentioned by Srila Prabhupada. So Devaki did have the opportunity of giving milk to Krishna. And because of the milk that Krishna had taken from Devaki, the Shadgarbhas were later delivered or they were able to be reinstated in their original position. So this is how Bhagavatam describes that even Devaki had an opportunity. And not only Devaki, there were others also who fed Krishna, especially during the pastime of Brahma Vimohan Leela. So we all know how Brahma stole away the calves and the cowherd boys. And at that time, Krishna himself expanded to become all the cowherd boys and the calves. And at that time, he exchanged beautiful rasas with all the residents of Rajabhumi, with everyone, with the young gopis as well as with the older gopis. With the older gopis, he did have the opportunity to be fed by all the mothers. So therefore, there are so many mothers for Krishna. So many of them had the opportunity to give milk to Krishna. Yet, Parikshit Maharaj, in this particular verse, he takes great care to distinguish Yashoda's very good special fortune from all the other mothers. Why? Because it was only this Yashoda who had this opportunity of closely seeing Krishna's childhood pastimes that steal away one's mind. Therefore, in this original verse that we quoted about Yashoda and Krishna, we see that Parikshit calls Krishna by the name Hari. Hari means one who steals. So what did he steal from Yashoda? He stole her mind. And how was her mind stolen? She had the opportunity of seeing these beautiful childhood pastimes of Krishna, which is very, very special. And it was Yashoda, being the mother in close proximity to Krishna, who had this greatest opportunity, though Krishna had so many mothers. So therefore, Yashoda is considered as the most special among everybody. And also, Yashoda is very, very special, and she's described as Mahabhaga, means most fortunate of everybody, from everybody. Even Nanda Maharaj is not as fortunate as Yashoda. So that's what this verse says. So why is that? It is only natural that children are more attached to their mother than to their father. It is a very natural thing, and the same thing applies to Krishna also. So Krishna was always with his mother, and he was in close proximity to his mother, and therefore this Yashoda is being described as Mahabhaga, even more fortunate than Nanda Maharaj. Because Nanda Maharaj, as a father, he had to take care of outside duties. He had to go out and come back once in a while. And yes, he did interact with his children. But then this Yashoda was always with child Krishna, and she always had this opportunity of her heart being stolen by these beautiful pastimes of Krishna during his childhood. Especially the pastime of Yashoda trying to bind Krishna with a rope is most celebrated, and we will get into these verses as we proceed further. So although Vasudev and Devaki, they worship Krishna with devotion before they had Krishna as their child, it is mentioned in scriptures that Vasudev and Devaki, they perform severe austerities to have Krishna as their child. We know there are three births. They were born as Prishni Sotapa, and then Aditi Kashyapa, and then now as Vasudeva and Devaki. They did a lot of austerities to have Krishna as their child. They underwent severe austerities. It is said that they went through severe austerities almost for four yugas. So you can imagine the amount of austerities that they have gone through. Yet, they could not achieve a trace of the blessings of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Devaki and Vasudev, they could not see Krishna's childhood pastimes when Krishna was crawling about in the palace of Nanda Maharaj. So therefore, great poets like Brahma and Vyasadev, they are constantly singing the glories of Yashoda and Nanda, especially Yashoda Ma, who was the great, most fortunate, because she had this very, very special association with Krishna. So we'll continue with the next verse that is being quoted by Parikshit Maharaj. This verse is again from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.51. Glories of Yashoda and Nanda again, but this time the focus is going to be on Nanda Maharaj. Okay, we are going to see the glory of Nanda Maharaj, who had the special fortune of being Krishna's own father. So this is the verse. Tato bhaktir bhagavati putri bhute janardane dampatyornitaram asid gopa gopi shubharata. Therefore, O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharatas, When the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they maintained continuous devotional service in parental affection, and their association, all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the Gopas and Gopis, developed the culture of Krishna Bhakti. So this is 10.8.51. Both Nanda and Yashoda are being glorified, and it is being glorified in such a way that because of Nanda and Yashoda, all the other residents of Vrindavan had the opportunity to witness the childhood pastimes of Krishna, and they all developed the culture of Krishna Bhakti. So Shukdev Goswami, he recounts the previous birth of Nanda and Yashoda, actually just before this verse, and he tells that Nanda and Yashoda, they had performed severe austerities, and they performed austerities and they requested Brahma to bestow benedictions to them. Now, because Brahma was a first-class devotee, by his benediction, Nanda and Yashoda were able to perfect their love to the Supreme Lord Janardana. Now, when Prishni and Sutapa, they had performed austerities, meaning when Devaki and Vasudev had performed austerities, they were blessed by the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord told them that he would come as their son. But whereas you look at the austerities that was performed by Nanda and Yashoda, they performed austerities to attract the attention of Brahma, who is a devotee. So by the mercy of a devotee, by the mercy of an exalted devotee like Lord Brahma, Nanda and Yashoda were blessed to attain this highest devotion to Krishna, and they had this topmost perfect love for the Supreme Lord, and they were able to witness the childhood pastimes of Krishna because they went through the medium of a spiritual master, they went through the medium of Brahma. So they were even more fortunate. And this Lord is being described as Janardana. Janardana means one who is the annihilator of demons and wicked persons. But Krishna is also Janardana because he makes people hanker to achieve him, achieve his favor. So Janaha means hankering, and Ardanti means an ardor to achieve him in a way that they consider only him to be important in their life. So that is another meaning of Janardana. That's why Krishna is described as Janardana in this verse, because he makes the devotees hanker so much for him in such a way that they think that only Krishna is important for them. So like this, Nanda and Yashoda, they considered only Krishna as important. He just wanted to develop pure devotional service, and everyone to develop pure devotional service. So that was their mood. So therefore, they had this very sweet hankering to develop love for God, and therefore they were able to obtain Krishna as their dear son. And because of their influence, all the other Gopas and Gopis and Raja, they all developed great love for Krishna, and therefore this Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are considered to be the most fortunate, and they have been responsible for so many other devotees to relish Krishna's childhood pastimes. So they are the most fortunate, and this is especially in context with Krishna's early childhood pastimes. They were considered to be the most fortunate when Krishna was doing his Balya Leela, and later as Krishna was growing up, as he entered into his Pauganda and Kaishora Leela, the younger gopis became more fortunate. But during his early childhood pastimes, definitely it was Yashoda and Nanda who had the maximum fortune. And again in this verse, it is being quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami addressed Parikshit Maharaj as descendant of this eminent dynasty of Bharata, or best of the Bharatas. So why he was doing that is because he wanted to imply that Parikshit should now able to be, since he's a descendant of the Bharata dynasty, since he's a descendant of the Pandavas who understand all this, he should be able to understand very easily how Yashoda and Nanda attained perfection over Devaki and Vasudev. So Devaki and Vasudev, they wanted to have a son like Krishna. So therefore they worshipped the Lord. But whereas this Yashoda and Nanda, they just wanted to render best devotional service to Krishna. So therefore, Brahma was very, very happy and he awarded the fulfillment of their prayer. So like this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he demonstrated that a benediction from his devotee is much more valuable than directly glorifying the Lord. So this was exemplified by Nanda and Yashoda. And as Krishna, he descended on this Vrajabhumi, he expanded his supremely attractive pastimes and for the benefit of not only for his parents, Nanda and Yashoda, but he also benefited everyone who was related to Nanda and Yashoda. So like this, Nanda and Yashoda, they are the eternal companions of the Lord, meaning in the spiritual world also, there is Nanda and Yashoda who are the parents of Krishna, but they had this very special fortune by Brahma's blessing that they could further engage in the pastimes of the childhood pastimes of Krishna in Vrajabhumi. Krishna also blessed all the other devotees in the land of Vraja because of this austerities that Yashoda and Nanda did towards Brahma. And because of the mercy of Yashoda, Nanda and Brahma, all the other Vrajavasis had the great opportunity of seeing these childhood pastimes of Krishna that is so enchanting. So like this, Shukdev Goswami, he explains to Parikshit Maharaj, and Parikshit Maharaj in turn quotes this verse in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, glorifying the great fortune of Yashoda and Nanda. So again, the next verse that is quoted is, he says, O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Kurus, Nanda Maharaj was very liberal and simple. On returning home from his trip, he at once took his son Krishna on his lap, and by formally smelling Krishna's head, he undoubtedly enjoyed transcendental bliss. So this is very specific to Nanda Maharaj. Actually, this is the verse that is specific to Nanda Maharaj. So we always talk about the mother. We hardly talk about the father. Especially in Krishna's pastimes, always Yashoda. And she is the one, definitely, she is the one who is Mahabhaga. She is the one who is the most fortunate. Definitely a mother is more important to a child, especially during his or her upbringing. But the father also has a very beautiful, very sweet role. And Nanda Maharaj was a very, very sweet, very kind, very generous father. And this verse that we just recited, the translation was, O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Kurus, Nanda Maharaj was very liberal and simple. Two qualities of Nanda Maharaj is being described here. And then he says, on returning home from his trip from Vrindavan, he at once took his son Krishna on, sorry, trip from Mathura, sorry. He went to Mathura to pay his taxes to Kamsa. So he had taken a trip to Mathura and he was returning back to Gokul Mahavan. At that time, when he came back, very lovingly, he took his dear son Krishna on his lap and he formally was smelling Krishna's head. And at that time, he undoubtedly enjoyed transcendental bliss. So very, very beautiful relationship between Nanda Maharaj and Krishna. We also saw in some of our previous sessions as to how Nanda Maharaj used to relish his lunch with his two sons. So every time Krishna and Balram would go out to play, Mother Yashoda and Rohini would call him back. And especially, sometimes Rohini would fail. So Mother Yashoda would go and literally pull them back home so that they could wait and enjoy their lunch with Nanda Maharaj. Because Nanda Maharaj used to always look forward to having his lunch with his sons. And in our previous sessions also, we saw in the spiritual world how Krishna and Balaram were sitting next to their father Nanda Maharaj and enjoying their lunch. Balaram was on the right side and Krishna was on the left side, and then how they would enjoy so many preparations. So Nanda Maharaj definitely had a lot of affection for Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj also, we know from the Damodar pastime, right towards the end of the Damodar pastime, after he delivered Nalakuvara and Manigriva, who were in the form of trees, Nanda Maharaj was the one who was able to untie the ropes that were tied by Yashoda, because Nanda Maharaj shares this Vatsalya Rasa with Yashoda towards Krishna. So he was the one who was able to remove the knot. And in fact, that whole day, Krishna was very upset with Mother Yashoda, and he wouldn't even see Mother Yashoda's face But Nanda, he stayed only with Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj, he shared such a sweet relationship with his dear son, and he pacified his son. And the whole day, Krishna wouldn't leave the lap of his father. And Nanda Maharaj showered so much affection. And finally, he helped Nanda Maharaj patch up with his mother. Krishna patch up with his mother, Yashoda. So Nanda Maharaj is a very, very wonderful character. And in this verse, he is being described as being very liberal and very simple-hearted. It's a very simple-hearted person. So actually, this verse in the Bhagavatam was mentioned. This verse comes in Canto 10, Chapter 6, verse number 43. This verse was spoken right after the deliverance of Uttana. So we recently heard so many classes on the deliverance of Putana. See, after Putana was delivered, when Putana was delivered, Nanda Maharaj, he had gone to Mathura to pay his taxes. And at that time, he had heard from Vasudev that there could be some calamities, and he was asked to return early to the land of Vrindavan, to the land of Gokul. So when Nanda Maharaj returned, he saw that his dear son was actually on the body of this horrible demon who was so big. And immediately he went and he picked up his child, and out of love, he just embraced his child and he smelled the head of this child. So this is the context of this verse when it was spoken. Especially in this verse, it is said that Krishna Swaputra, meaning Nanda Maharaj, picked his own child, his Swaputra, his own child Krishna, and he smelled his head. So in this verse there is another inner meaning that Shukadev Goswami is trying to convey, that actually Krishna is specifically only Nanda Maharaj's son. Even Vasudev cannot claim Krishna as his son. Nanda Maharaj alone has the authority over Krishna as his son, because Nanda Maharaj was the one who was taking care of Krishna all the while during all circumstances. It was Nanda Maharaj who had full authority over this little child Krishna. So as Nanda Maharaj finished paying the taxes to Kamsa and he returned home from Madhupuri, he discovered that Krishna was killed by this demoness Putana. And at this point, Nanda Maharaj, he was so happy to see his son alive. That was the only thing in his mind. He was not worried about anything else. The only concern that he had in his heart was, where is my son? Is my son okay? So the only concern in his heart and the only happiness at that time was that he could see his son was safe, and his son was safe from all calamity. So although the Vrajavasis, many of them were very astonished to see this huge Rakshasi being killed by Krishna, and many of them were many of them were wondering how Krishna could so nicely kill this Putana. Many of them were even thinking Krishna is really great. He must be some divine being. That's why he's able to kill this big demoness. So many of them were covered by that feeling of reverence towards Krishna at that point. They couldn't help but wonder what kind of powerful being Krishna really was. So this was happening with many of them, and it was heightening their awareness of Krishna's greatness. But in spite of all of them having this thought about Krishna's greatness, Nanda Maharaj, he had a very firm conviction, very, very firm conviction that Krishna was nothing less than his own dependent son. See, this kind of firm conviction even Vasudeva didn't have at any point. But Nanda Maharaj, even at such a situation where this great demoness Putana was just being killed by a little baby, she was as big as a mountain, she was 12 miles long, and this little baby on the body of Putana, he was so tiny. If you see the paintings of the killing of Putana, you can see how big Putana was and how tiny Krishna was. So that tiny Krishna killing Putana is no ordinary feat. Just by drinking milk can someone kill? That is what Krishna did actually. But everyone was, for 1 minute, they were thinking, oh my God, this Krishna must be something very special. But Nanda Maharaj, even at that time, he was not bewildered by the slightest thought that Krishna is something so great. He had this firm conviction that Krishna is nothing more than my little, little baby. So that's how Nanda Maharaj had this very strong feelings for Krishna. And his pure affection for Krishna was not weakened by any sort of distraction. That was Nanda Maharaj's glory. And when Nanda Maharaj took his child and he went inside home, inside his house, he put little Krishna on his lap, he embraced him, and in ecstasy, he began to smell the head of his son. So this is a way of showing affection. Parents, they smell the head of their child when they are very affectionate. They embrace the child, they put the child on the lap, and then they smell the head of the child out of love. So like this was giving Nanda Maharaj the highest limit of happiness. And this highest limit of happiness that Nanda Maharaj was feeling in this particular situation is described as Paramam Mudam. So if we split this verses as Paramam, it means the happiness Nanda felt at that happiness that Nanda felt was greater than the joy felt by the goddess of fortune, Ma. So again, I give that meaning again. This is from Srila Sanatana Goswami's splitting of the words. Paramamoda means feeling extreme happiness. But the same word can be split as Paramam, meaning the happiness felt by Nanda Maharaj was greater than the happiness felt by Mother Ma. Who's Ma? Ma stands for Mahalakshmi. So when we say Ma, the root word Ma indicates Mahalakshmi. Even Lakshmi Devi didn't have this supreme joy that Nanda Maharaj was experiencing at this point in time. So she's always serving the Lord, massaging his lotus feet. Even Mother Lakshmi, she's the Ma of the universe. Even she didn't have this great fortune as Nanda Maharaj had when he was smelling the head of Krishna. So like this, Nanda Maharaj, he was undergoing such wonderful pleasures and therefore he's described as Udaradihi, meaning he's very saintly and he's very generous. What is he generous in? He's simple-hearted and he's generous. That's what this verse said, right? So what is he generous in? He's very generous in his devotion, in his loving devotion. So that is what Nanda Maharaj was very, very generous. Of course, Nanda Maharaj was very generous in the way that during the name-giving ceremony of Krishna, he gave large amounts of charity. He donated so many cows and he did so much charity. All the time, Nanda Maharaj, you hear him, he donates cows and he does all this charity. Definitely, he is Udaradihi. He is very, very generous. He's also very intelligent. Udaradi also means one who's very intelligent. However, all this generosity and intelligence that really Nanda Maharaj had was in terms of his devotion to Krishna, was in terms to devotion and love that he showed towards his child. Not devotion in terms of awe and reverence, but devotion that was filled with spontaneous love. So that is the kind of relationship that Nanda Maharaj had with Krishna. And after all, this Nanda Maharaj is the one who did not ask any other benediction from Brahma. He could have easily asked, "Oh, give me Krishna as my child." He could have easily asked any other material benediction. He could have asked anything. But then when he saw a great Vaishnava like Brahma, all that he asked was, "Please give me this blessing that I should have loving devotion to Krishna. I should just love Krishna." And because of this, everyone else should be able to witness this love. Everyone else should be able to experience this love and witness the beautiful pastimes of Krishna. So this is the greatness of Nanda Maharaj. He is certainly very intelligent because he asked for the right boon, and he is certainly very generous because he had the generosity of pouring out that devotion and love that he had for Krishna. So that is the greatness of Nanda Maharaj. This is actually a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 10, Chapter 8, Verse number 49. This is the exact verse that talks about the previous life of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Ma as Drona and Dara and what they requested Brahma. So this verse is 10.8.49. We'll see the translation of this verse and we'll see how Sanatana Goswami dissects this verse. So this is 10.8.49. It goes like this. It says, "Please permit me, permit us," both Dara and Drona, both of them are asking, "please permit us to be born on the earth planet so that after our appearance, the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, the supreme control and master of all planets, will appear and also spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life. Thus, those born in this material world may be very easily delivered from the miserable condition of materialistic life by accepting devotional service. What a noble thought. I mean, who will ask this, really? Who will ask this? You would definitely ask something for yourself. Yes, for your own, you can either ask something for your material benefit or for your own spiritual benefit, right? Like how Devaki and Vasudev did ask, please come as our son or give us a son who's equal to you. And then Krishna says, no, there's no one equal to me. Only I can come as your son. And that is the boon that they ask. Everyone would ask that. But look at the way Drona and Tara, that is Nanda and Yashoda, ask for boons. First of all, they are approaching a Vaishnava, Brahma. They are not directly going to the Lord. They are approaching a Vaishnava. And then what are they asking? Let the Supreme Personality of Godhead come. Let him come here. And let him come here to do what? To spread devotional service. That is why he should be coming here. And let him spread this concept of the ultimate goal of life. Let him give prema very freely. And let everybody be delivered. Not just us. Let everyone be delivered. Let them all come out of this miserable condition of materialistic life. And let them accept devotional service. So therefore, Nanda and Yashoda, they are Udara Devi. They are definitely extremely intelligent and extremely liberal. They are giving it to everybody. How liberal are they? Very simple, very intelligent, very liberal. That is Nanda and Yashoda. So like that, Srimad Bhagavatam is very beautiful, very, very beautiful. It describes the glory of Nanda and Yashoda like this. So Nanda and Yashoda, both of them in their previous life, together they offered the same prayer. And when we see that both of them together offered the same prayer, so then there's a natural question. We always talk about the greatness of Yashoda, Yashoda, Yashoda. She's Mahabhaga. She's the most fortunate. She's the mother, right? We are all about mother and the gopis. That's how Krishna Leela is. Always focus on the women, right? Very fortunate are the women. In fact, especially Krishna's devotees, they're very, very fortunate to be women. So anyway, we always talk about Mother Yashoda. Hardly Nanda Maharaj is glorified much. So why is that so? Because both of them together, they prayed to the Lord. Both of them together, they asked for the same benediction. It's not that Nanda asked for something else and Yashoda asked for something else. But then how did Yashoda get this extraordinary love for Krishna? But that is because it is the nature of the mother. It is the very nature of creation. It's the very nature of mother. And it applies to even the mother of the Lord. The same concept applies to the mother of the Lord. However, Nanda Maharaj, his special ecstasy was shown under certain circumstances. Nanda, when he returns from a trip, like for example, when he returned from the trip to Mathura, upon coming home from a distant journey, any father naturally feels some sort of extra special affection towards their child. This is the nature of a father. So when a father is being separated from the child and family, a loving father who separated from their family for a long time, when he returns from a long trip, how does he feel? He feels very, very happy. He just wants to bond with his children. He wants to ask something from his children, how they were doing in his absence. He wants to bond with the wife. So that is natural. So therefore, this particular incident of Nanda coming and showing that extra special ecstasy after a trip is nothing surprising. It happens very naturally. For some time, he feels that extra affection, that extra special happiness. But however, Yashoda, she always felt that ecstatic affection. When we again say these statements, one may again question us, how can prema sometimes be low and sometimes be high? How can extra special affection or ecstasies in loving devotion, ecstasies in the love shown by a devotee to Krishna sometimes perk up and sometimes be low? It should always be high, right? It should always be constant. But then we should understand, yes, it is true that prema never diminishes or increases. But however, it is only an imitation of family relationships. So in family relationships, these things should be there. It should not be always be the same. In family relationships, sudden love should come. Sudden love should decrease. If all this is there, then there is a lot of rasa. There is a lot of enjoyment. If everything is constant all the time, then where is the scope for having very sweet relationships and enjoyments? So therefore, even in the spiritual world, even in the presence of Krishna, such differences are seen from time to time. But however, definitely both of them are very, very special. But Yashoda Ma is the most special. So that is how the relationship is. Because the relationship of a mother never changes. That is how it is. Father is important, but mother becomes even more important. Then there is the next verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that is quoted by Parikshit Maharaj. Again, this is about Yashoda, especially about Yashoda. Okay, here we go. This is Canto 10, Chapter 9, verses 18 and 20. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration and the flowers were falling from the braids of her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Very beautiful verse. And of course, this verse is from the most celebrated Damodar Leela, which is the highlight of Yashoda's relationship with Krishna, this particular pastime. So this is the pastime of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, how she was tying up Krishna to the mortar. And this whole pastime, if you see, actually, it's more of a glorification of Mother Yashoda than the glorification of Krishna. Yes, Krishna was naughty, he was mischievous, and he did all this. And he tried not to be bound initially, and then he got bound. But the whole pastime is just a description of Yashoda, Yashoda's love. How Yashoda was looking, what sari she was wearing, how her bangles were tinkling, how the malati flowers were falling off from her hair, the perspiration, the beads of perspiration on her face, how she was running behind Krishna, how she was trying so hard with all the other women in Vraja to tie this Krishna with the ropes that were meant for tying cows. So everything is about a glorification of Mother Yashoda. So one morning, and so this pastime, everybody knows, there's no surprise in this pastime. And every time we talk about, during the month of Kartik, we definitely have one class on Damodar Leela. Here Sanatan Goswami, he keeps it very short and he just discusses little points on Yashoda. He says, one morning, when Yashoda wanted to churn butter for herself and for her son, who was very fond of fresh butter, with great love in her heart, she went on to undertake this laborious task of churning the butter from the previous day's yogurt. So usually when they churn butter in traditional times, they would churn it before sunlight comes. That's when the butter comes out very nice. Otherwise, sometimes it would split. So therefore, the previous day, the old yogurt is taken and butter is churned before the first rays of sunlight come. That is how traditionally butter used to be churned. So like that, Mother Yashoda, she was ready to churn butter, fresh butter for her little child Krishna, who was so fond of butter. So she voluntarily took this laborious task of churning the previous day's yogurt. Now Yashoda had so many servants, she could have engaged anybody in doing it. But they, yes. Okay. Shall we mute for some time? So she took this laborious task of doing it herself, though she had many, many servants, because with love, mother's love, right? When mother likes to cook for her child, of course you may have 100 servants, but the mother's affection and the food that she cooks is something very special. When you eat the food cooked by your mother, there is definitely something special to it, something very special. The taste is special. Your enjoyment is special because you know that this food is loaded with love. So like that, Mother Yashoda, she took my child, the butter I will make. So like that, she took the churning rod and she started making butter. And when she was doing this, little Krishna had just woken up and he came and he wanted to drink her milk. So immediately she thought, okay, she will feed her child, and she took her child on her lap and she tried to continue to churn. But then this Krishna was a little agitated by the rumbling of the churning rod. So he stopped the churning rod with his hand. So he just stopped it there. And then she could realize that her son was getting disturbed. He really wanted to focus and drink milk. So she let her child drink, let her child actually suck milk. And then suddenly she realized that this milk on the stove was boiling over. And Krishna had not yet finished drinking his milk. Krishna was not yet satisfied from his hunger. But then she put her down and she went running to the kitchen. Why? Because she wanted to save that milk also. And that milk was also meant for Krishna. And there are so many details about this milk. Of course, we are not going to get into it because Damodar Leela is a separate class. And our previous sessions in Damodar Leela, you can always catch up on Bhakti Sangha. There are so many classes on Damodar Leela previously with all these details. So she went to save the milk. She went to pick up that milk that was boiling. And when she returned back, by the time she took the milk off the stove and she put it on the side and she came back after a moment, she found that the churning pot had a hole in the bottom. And obviously this hole was made by the nearby grinding stone that Krishna used to hit the butter pot. And Krishna had disappeared. And she followed she looked for him around the house, and she followed the butter footsteps, and she went and saw that Krishna was sitting on a mortar that was turned upside down, and he was feeding butter to all the monkeys. So she picked a stick and she went to punish Krishna from behind. But then the minute Krishna realized, he saw the reflection of Yashoda Ma coming from behind, he ran away. He ran away and he made her chase him like anything. Poor Yashoda, she was already a little old because she had given birth to a child when she was quite old. She didn't have a child for a very long time. And finally, when she was almost quite old, more than 40 for sure, around her 50s, very late child it was. And she had to run behind this child like anything. He made her run through the entire courtyard, and she was chasing him with a stick and she was scolding him. And finally she caught him and she showed the stick. If you behave like this, I'm really going to punish you. Not that she would hit him, but still she was chastising him. And then she scolded him so sharply, and she understood that she shouldn't frighten her son too much, because if she frightens her son will run away. So she was also overwhelmed with so much love that she didn't want to let her son go away. So she thought, okay, I will tie him up now. And she took all these ropes that is used for tying cows, and she tried to tie him. But as we all know, it was two fingers short. She was just unable to tie him up. And then everyone in Vraja came and gave their ropes. And she tried with so many ropes. She tried one rope She tried one rope to the other. She tried to make such long ropes. But still nothing would bind Krishna. Because by his inconceivable potency, though Krishna was, his waist was only so much, very, very small, like a baby, but still it was inconceivable that Krishna was actually expanding in one sense, that he did not allow Yashoda to actually tie his waist. Then finally, seeing that Yashoda was really laboring so hard, and Krishna understood that he was not fighting with demons at this point in time, he was only trying to resist his mother, and looking at the love and the endeavor of his mother, finally he agreed to be bound. So although Krishna's all spiritual body is beyond any limitations of time and space, he responded very mercifully to the strenuous labor of his mother. So very beautifully he responded, and then he allowed himself to be bound by his mother. Actually, Mother Yashoda bound him by her ropes of her love. It was the love that bound Mother Yashoda. So this is a very intimate relationship between mother and child. And Mother Yashoda and Krishna, they shared such a loving reciprocation. And this was the greatest mercy that Yashoda had and nobody else had. So when she tried to bind him, Krishna finally submitted to her effort because of her exalted love, the love that she showed. that the love she showed towards Krishna, Krishna was moved by this and he agreed to be bound. And how did he understand that she was showing so much love? Because externally also this love was manifested because of the perspiration on her limbs and the flowers falling from her hair. So Krishna was thinking, my mother really is very, very sweet and I should actually get bound by her. So that's the beautiful pastime of Damodar Leela. Of course, we can speak more than 2 hours on Damodar Leela, getting into the nuances and the little extra pastimes that happened during Damodar Leela. So many things happened at that time. So we can definitely, month of Kartik, someone will do the Damodar Leela again and we can hear more about it. So these pastimes of Krishna, they are so beautiful. Every time you hear them, you never feel satiated. You want to hear them again and again. They are always new. These pastimes never get boring or you never feel that you've heard it enough. So that's the nature of Krishna's pastimes. So the next verse quoted by Parikshit Maharaj. This is again from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, verse number 20. We are running out of time, but I want to finish off this Vatsalya Rasa. I'm going a little slow, but we'll finish it off. Just a few more verses and we'll finish it so that we can go with the younger gopis. That would take probably 2 classes because so many verses are quoted about them. And then we'll wind up the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by chanting the Phalashruti and seeing what else Parikshit Maharaj had to tell Mother Uttara and what else Jaimini and had to tell Janamejaya. So once we hear all that, we'll wind up. But we'll have probably 2 or 3 more classes before we end this. So now continuing with the next verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is 10.9.20. Nemam virincho na bhavo na shri rapi anga samashraya prasadam lebire gopi yat yat prapa vimuktidat. This is a very famous verse that talks specifically about the great fortune of Mother Yashoda. And the translation of this verse is, neither Lord Brahma nor Lord Shiva nor even Goddess of Fortune Lakshmi, who always seeks refuge at the chest of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such great mercy as received by this gopi. It says lebire gopi, prasadam lebire gopi, this gopi. Who's this gopi? It is Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda is being described in this verse 10.9.20. So while describing the great fortune of Mother Yashoda, Shukdev Goswami, he became more and more and more amazed, and his body, the hairs on his body was standing on end when he was chanting this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that so many people have attained Krishna's favor. However, you have Lord Brahma, you have Lord Shiva, you have the Goddess of Fortune. So many people, they have attained the favor of Krishna. But then the favor that was attained by Mother Yashoda is the most wonderful. And Shukdev Goswami, affectionately, he refers to Mother Yashoda as that gopi. Because of her privileged status of being the wife of the king of all gopas. So Gopa means Nanda, Gopi means Mother Yashoda, like that. So he was the king and she was the queen. So therefore, very lovingly, Shukdev Goswami, in his ecstasy, he was just calling her that special Gopi because she had this privileged status. And this favor that she had attained, nobody else, even great controllers or even the Goddess of Fortune, who is a constant companion of the Lord, she never leaves the chest of the Lord. Even she didn't get this great fortune that Yashoda got, because Yashoda got this very great fortune of seeing Krishna as her affectionate son and having these loving childhood pastimes with Krishna. It's very rare. Actually, seeing the childhood pastimes of Krishna is very rare. So Yashoda, especially in the Damodar pastime, when Yashoda tied Krishna with a rope, Krishna, he demonstrated the power of God. He tried to resist her and all the attempts that she was trying to make. She tried so much, right? We just saw what all she did. in fact, Yashoda at that time, when she was trying to bind Krishna, she could see that all her attempts were failing. And at that time, she could understand, she could witness Krishna's omnipotence, Krishna's greatness. But even then, even at that time, when Krishna's omnipotence was being revealed, even at that time, only her affection increased. Only her love increased. Her reverence did not increase. Her affection and love increased. So therefore, this Krishna who gives people liberation from the bondage of birth and death, from the ropes of bondage of birth and death, he was able to be bound by the love of his mother, that to what sort of ropes? Ropes that was meant for tending cows. So such a kind of rope he was able to be bound by because of the love of his mother. So like this, this favor that Yashoda has actually obtained, nobody has obtained. Even the eternal associates in Vaikuntha, they have not obtained this favor that Mother Yashoda has obtained. So to be the mother of Krishna and to be with him, to witness his childhood pastimes, nobody has had this great fortune. So it is the great fortune of Mother Yashoda as described in this verse. Next, Parikshit Maharaj, he goes on to quote another very beautiful two verses about Putana, just after Putana, what happened. So we will look at those two verses. Again, there is a little comparison that is being made with Devaki and Vasudev. And the fortune of Mother Yashoda is glorified again in these two verses. This is Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, verses 39-40. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the bestower of many benedictions, including liberation or oneness with Brahman effulgence. For that son of Devaki, the gopis always felt maternal love. They looked at him as if he were their own son, and Krishna, with full satisfaction, sucked the milk that, by maternal affection, flowed freely from their breasts. Therefore, no one should ever think that after leaving their bodies, they return to material existence, which arises as a result of ignorance. Bhagavatam 10, 6, 39, 40. So in this verse, it is very nicely explained that son of Devaki, okay, that is Krishna, that son of Devaki, he is the bestower of many benedictions. He can even give liberation. He can give liberation. He can give oneness with Brahman. He can give all this. But then that son of Devaki was able to give maternal love. That's such a great bestowing maternal love is not something that is very commonly seen. Krishna was able to give maternal love, not only to Yashoda actually, but he was also able to give this maternal love to so many gopis. And to his full satisfaction, he accepted their milk with his full satisfaction. And because of this, all these people who had this opportunity, they were all delivered from this existence of material life. How can one not be delivered when one has such close proximity with the Lord? So this verse comes while narrating the history of Putana's attempt to kill Krishna. So at the time, Shukdev Goswami, he spoke this verse and he was telling how even Putana had a good fortune. So when you see in this verse, it means that so many people had the opportunity to give their milk to Krishna, and even Putana had the good fortune like the elder gopis, because even Putana's breast was offered to the Lord to drink milk from. And also the Acharya's comment that it was not that Putana only gave poison. First she gave few drops of milk and then poison came. So Krishna, he had the opportunity to even, Putana had the opportunity to even give that few drops of milk to Krishna. And Krishna accepted it very willingly, very happily, and he gave her a position of a nurse in the spiritual world. So that is really wonderful. That is the glory of Krishna. And not only that, we also discussed this point that when Brahma actually came and he stole away the cowherd boys and the calves, at that time so many mothers, so many of them, they had the opportunity to give Krishna milk, and all of them, because they had that opportunity, they perfected their life, and they were completely out of the cycle of birth and death, and their material existence was once for all finished. And any conditioned living entity in this material world who's trapped in samsara due to their ignorance, can easily be delivered by Krishna. We know that there are so many jnanis who are being delivered by Krishna. There are so many other devotees. They have even attained Vaikuntha. They have had such great realizations of Krishna. But then Krishna, when he accepted the milk from so many mothers with so much love, he gave them all some sort of an extra special mercy in such a way that they could all take this personal association from Krishna and be with him in the spiritual world as his mother, like how what happened to Putana. She almost got the position like a mother, it is described, meaning that she had the position of a nurse in the spiritual world. So like this, everybody had an opportunity to get perfection because of their association with Krishna in this Vatsalya Rasa. And Krishna was specifically, again, this verse talked about Devaki, right? So why is he called as the son of Devaki, who gave the opportunities to others? Because actually Krishna was born from the womb of Devaki. So the rightful Devaki had the right over Krishna to give her milk, okay? But Krishna, he felt satisfaction not only from Mother Devaki, he felt satisfaction, complete satisfaction and happiness when he took the milk of all the other mothers, and he had complete satisfaction even at that time. The same satisfaction he had when he sucked the milk from his own mother. The same satisfaction he displayed and the same love he gave to everyone else who actually had this opportunity to feed Krishna with their own milk. So like this, Krishna gave favor to everybody. And this Putana, she was only hankering for the blood of human children. And she came with a desire to kill Krishna. And just because she offered her breast to the Lord, she attained the greatest achievement. Then what is to be said for those who give love to Krishna with pure devotion? So many other Vrajavasis, with pure devotion, they were offering milk to Krishna. So you can imagine their great fortune. How greatly fortunate each one of those older gopis were. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam 10.6, 35, 36. And then there is one more verse related to Putana and the motherly feeling. This is 10.6, 38. It says, although Putana was a great witch, she attained the position of a mother in the transcendental world and thus achieved the highest perfection. What then is to be said of the cows whose nipples Krishna sucked with great pleasure, who offered their milk very jubilantly with affection, exactly like that of a mother? Glorification of the cows. So Krishna, as the calves, he also had the opportunity to take the milk of the cows. So what a great fortune those cows had. They were just freely giving this, they were freely experiencing this Vatsalya Rasa with Krishna. And definitely they were extremely fortunate. And also in this verse, it's actually, if you look at the Sanskrit of this verse, it says they attain the highest heaven. It says the highest heaven, actually, in the Sanskrit translation. These people, all of them who had an opportunity, they attain the highest heaven, including Putana. Highest heaven means, we should understand, highest heaven is a place it's unlimited swarga. A place where heaven is unlimited, that is called as highest heaven. And where is heavenly happiness or happiness unlimited, that is actually in Goloka Vrindavan. So when we say highest heaven, it means the spiritual world. So even this Putana, she also had, because she was established in Vatsalya Rasa for a few seconds, even she had the opportunity of going to the highest heaven, which is Goloka Vrindavan. And of course, all the gopis who were associated with Krishna in this Rasa, they all were liberated and they all went to the spiritual world. And Krishna, he destroys all the other interior goals of life. These people who were treating Krishna as their own son, they achieved the highest destination. Highest destination means to be an associate of the Lord. There are so many destinations in this world. People are after dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Krishna can give all dharma, artha, kama and moksha. But then when Krishna is very, very merciful, he doesn't want to give any of this. He doesn't want to give dharma. He doesn't want to give artha or kama or even impersonal liberation, moksha. All that he wants to give is himself. He wants to give himself. He wants to give the ultimate perfection of attaining the spiritual world. So even to these demon-like people, when they offered motherly love, Krishna wanted to give himself, and he wanted to give the topmost liberation, vimukti, topmost special liberation of becoming his associate in the spiritual world. So therefore, all of them, they were extremely, very well benefited. And this point about Krishna giving this topmost benediction of coming to the spiritual world to his special devotees is also reiterated in many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sanatan Goswami, he quotes a few verses from the other cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6.11.23, he talks about this verse quoted by the demon Vritrasura. When Vritrasura was talking to Indra, just before he was killed by Indra, at that time Vritrasura makes a very beautiful statement in the sixth canto. He says, our Lord, who is the Supreme Personality of God,
it's good for you. Thank you, dear.
Forbids his devotees to endeavor uselessly for religion, economic development, and sense gratification. O Indra, one can thus infer how kind the Lord is. Such mercy is obtainable only in life. So such mercy is only obtained by unalloyed devotees, only such unalloyed devotees, not by persons who are after material gains. So this Supreme Lord, there are many devotees in this world who are after dharma, artha, kama, moksha, kaivalya, all of this. But if the Lord is the Lord is capable of giving any of this, but if the Lord is giving us all this, that means that we are not really, really recipients of the Lord's mercy. Real recipients of the Lord's mercy are those who are akinchana, meaning they are false from, they are free from all sorts of false identification. A person who's free from all sorts of false identifications and completely surrendered to the Lord, such a person, even when he is given any of these, dharma, artha, kama, or moksha, they are not at all happy. All that they want is actually to have the special association of the Lord. So therefore, this Vritrasura in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, he was telling that pure devotees, they are not after any of these. And the Lord also, he wants to give only the special position to his pure devotees. He just wants to take them back with him. So therefore, people who approach the Lord with material motives, Krishna is not very, very happy. Krishna doesn't feel great happiness in reciprocating with them. Rather, when one gives his love and affection to Krishna, Krishna very happily accepts him and gives him the topmost destination. Even for people who are trying to go to Krishna for other benedictions, other minor benedictions, material benedictions, or even for liberation, Krishna sometimes, he refuses giving, though he is completely capable of fulfilling their desires, sometimes he refuses giving it to them. Just like a child may want to eat dirt, but then the parent will give the child a sweet so that the child refuses to eat dirt. Like that, Krishna, sometimes he will divert us. When we go to Krishna asking him for material benedictions or asking him for some other lower goal, that time Krishna may not give it to us because he's a loving parent. He wants to give the best to us. So that, we, you know, when we are refused these lower benedictions, when we are refused all this, that time we will hanker for something higher. So like that, Krishna, he tricks his devotees once in a while so that they can all follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis and they can perfect their life. So like this, Maharaj Parikshit, he was talking not only about Mother Yashoda, he also spoke about the cows of Vrindavan. He also spoke about the other mothers in Vrindavan. He also spoke about the demoness Putana who by chance gave her milk to Krishna. So like this, Parikshit Maharaj, he quotes all these devotees in the mood of Vatsalya who tried to satisfy the Lord in some way or the other and how the Lord reciprocated with them and gave them the topmost benediction. Just because the other gopis and the cows were mentioned later after Yashoda, it doesn't mean that they are greater than Yashoda. Rather, we should understand that Yashoda is the topmost devotee in Krishna, with Krishna in Vatsalya Rasa. And of course, all these other devotees, they were following in the footsteps of Yashoda and therefore they were all benefited. So this is the unique affection, motherly affection of Mother Yashoda. And with this, this portion concludes about the discussion of Vatsalya Rasa. And in our next two classes. We will see about the Madhurya Rasa of the younger gopis, and then we will conclude the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So thank you all so much for your attention. I think it was quite a long class because there were so many verses quoted by Parikshit Maharaj, and I wanted to cover all of it. So thank you for your attention, and any questions, comments, or realizations, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji, this is Anshu. So I have one question. I mean, actually two. So whenever Krishna got in trouble by Mother Yashoda, why couldn't Balaram, he was always there whenever, I mean, other situations, but why couldn't he be with Krishna when he was in trouble with Kali? I mean, he was okay, but the Brajavasis thought he would be killed and he would be dead. But why wouldn't Balaram be with him even in that situation?
During the killing of Kalia and Agastya, is that what you're asking?
No, only Kalia. When Kalia came to Vrindavan and poisoned the Yamuna River, and Krishna jumped into the river and trying to protect his devotees, his parents and basically everyone else.
So Krishna was, Balaram, it was his birthday. So he was held back at home and he was asked to take care of his birthday rituals. In the morning, they do have some rituals on your birthday. So he was asked to take care of all of that so that he can go late. And also the snakes, Balaram is the lord of all the snakes in the sense that he is the original Sesha. So there will be some sort of an interference or a natural affection that he may have for the snakes. So therefore, whenever there are any pastimes of Krishna killing any of the snakes, apparently either it's his birthday or there is some other situation where Balaram is held back at home and he is not able to go, because then he might interfere with the actual pastime of Krishna. So Balaram is always in a mood where he wants to assist the pastimes of Krishna. Okay, so sometimes he may get a little involved. He didn't want to get involved at that time, and he wanted Krishna to take care of these demons. So therefore, he kept away.
Okay. Yeah. So my second question is why did only the Brajavasis got the opportunity to look at Krishna's pastimes, and why didn't his wives get opportunity to look at Krishna's pastimes? So that's my second question.
So only in Vrindavan, there is a mood of sweetness. So just like every devotee, every living entity has a particular feeling towards Krishna. Okay, every living entity. So you see, the queens of Dwaraka, they had the mood which is called as a formal relationship between a husband and wife. So they had sort of a respectful love. Okay, it's a sort of a formal, duty-bound, respectful love. That is the kind of love that they wanted to have with Krishna. So therefore, they were in Dwaraka and they were relishing that. So everyone is happy with the kind of affection that they want to show to Krishna. But whereas the gopis in Vrindavan or the older gopis in Vrindavan, they wanted to have a specific mood with Krishna, specific sort of relationship with Krishna, and they got to have that. Okay?
Okay.
So we all like to have different relationships with different people. So based on our desire, we are facilitated to be in a particular place.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Mataji.
Very sweet questions, Anshu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. This is Vivek here. Thank you for letting us hear all these pastimes of Krishna. and Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj particularly. I have a question, Mataji. So you were talking about Bhagavatam 10.8.49, right? So while you were reading that from, I do not open Brihad Bhagavatamrita, but I was just opening up Prabhupada's book. And Prabhupada mentions that in the purport that Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are their relationship with Krishna is eternal. And he states in the purport that, in other words, it is not possible for a sadhana siddha living being to become mother or father of Krishna.
Right.
For Krishna's father and mother are already designated, which means that, is my understanding correct, is that Krishna, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they often descend whenever Krishna descends. So does it mean that they're also part of Krishna's Ladini Shakti? Is that the understanding?
Oh, so your question is it about, since they are eternal associates, are they also a part of Ladini Shakti? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay. So are they a part of Ladini Shakti? They're definitely a part of the internal potency of the Lord. May not be specifically Haladini, but internal potency of the Lord, they are definitely, since they are expansions, meaning eternal associates, they are a part of the internal energy of the Lord. That is correct.
Okay. Okay, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. And I think this was also there in one of the previous sessions when we discussed the internal potency and its classification. So that time this point did come, and that could be the reference. I'll try to get a specific verse reference for you, Prabhu.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Lakshmi.
Mataji, such a wonderful class, Mataji. We are fully immersed in the fortune that Yashoda Mayi was enjoying with Krishna. And I remembered, and I just wanted to add 2 points, Mataji, that I read on regarding Yashoda Mayi earlier. Mm-hmm. So in the book, The Disapproved But Not Disowned, mm-hmm. Prabhuji is saying that in the Brahma Vimoshan Leela, actually all the gopis, and the cows, especially cows and the gopis, they used to daily see Yashoda Mayi taking care of Krishna. Mm-hmm. And they were actually not envious on Yashoda Mayi, but they desired, mm-hmm. Oh my God, will we get a fortune like this? So what Krishna did is, when Brahma came in to call the kids, he is Jagat Guru, so he knows about the desire of the gopis and the cows. Mm-hmm. So what Krishna did is, he wanted to use the opportunity. So he was so intelligent, he became as their kids and also the cows. And for 1 year, he gave the fortune to all the gopis and also the cows. So as you mentioned, Mataji, Yashoda Mayi is the is a fortune. She is the leading. We cannot say that they are equal to her, but Krishna also gave them for 1 year the opportunity. And also when you mentioned Putana, when Vamandeva was coming, Putana desired just for one, maybe not for one minute, she desired, I should have Vaman as my child. Mm-hmm. And immediately she changed her mind. It was so fast. She's a demon, her nature is demon. So immediately she changed her thought to kill Vaman. But because of that one single desire, she was given the opportunity. So in the book, Prabhuji is saying, If we appreciate the good fortune of others, while if one is doing a good seva or something, service, we don't have envy, but if we desire and we appreciate them, Krishna will give that same opportunity to us. So that I read in the book, Mataji. It was so nice. The class was so beautiful.
So nice.
Yes, Mataji, it is mentioned in the books, and also the class was entirely nice, Mataji. And about Nanda Maharaj, I have not read more about Nanda Maharaj, but the part you said about him was so nice. That also was good. And really, we are the Damodar Leela, that also was so nice, Mataji. So basically, when we think about Yashoda Mayi, she is so great, and we all have to pray to her and worship her. So thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
So much, Lakshmi Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam.
Hare Bol.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to Guru Maharaj. All glories to your wonderful, wonderful, wonderful narration of the beautiful, beautiful pastimes of the Lord. It is really amazing how, I think like when we are going through the stories, like Lord has like fulfilled the wishes according to each person's desires, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and according to each person's surrender. So like there is no like one rule fits all kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like when we read Srila Prabhupada's instructions also, right? We always say that like any personal instructions or any letters which are there, those instructions are again going to be a person specific.
Mm-hmm.
According to that person, what he was undergoing. So like you cannot have, okay, that instruction was given to that person, so it is the same applicable for me.
Okay.
So this is such a perfect example that how the Lord has favored someone, how the Lord has not favored someone. So this understanding will be really according to each person's surrender. And sometimes we like now, I sometimes feel like we have so many questions. Why did the Lord do this? Why is he doing this to me? But then over the period of time, it is really going to be a revelation that, okay, yes, this was the thing. And that was how, not innocent, but we can say how arrogant we were when we were thinking that the Lord is not favoring me. Because we have that me thing, right? Like this is specifically, I'm talking about myself. Like, I don't know, like your classes really bring so much of insight, Mataji. I'm really, really grateful for you that we are able to attend your classes. Thank you so much for your wonderful service. This Bihad Bhagavatamrita is really a word to listen from the beginning again. And again, I tell you, like for the kids, this is a must. Not for the kids also, for everyone. But really, really grateful to you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sita Priti Mataji, for always making us, making all of us think twice about the importance of Krishna consciousness and what we have in hand. Thank you so much for sharing your realizations, always coming forward and encouraging everyone. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Thank you very much for the wonderful classes and you made us in the past, being in the past tense, so very clear and very like we emerged in the past tense. I have one, clarification or doubt. Like I heard somewhere, like you, when you told about Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj's previous life, like how they got that birth, right? But whatever you said, like I didn't hear. But means that's one other thing. Like they prayed for Brahma and Brahma gave the benediction. But I heard like they asked for a son, but not like Devaki and Vasudev. Like they asked son who will help the humanity, like spread the that one. So I was thinking that they asked the boon to Devaki and Vasudev to Krishna, but you said it's to Brahma.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you presented is very good. Like you correlated that to how we should aspire to serve a pure devotee, and then if pure devotee blesses, that would be more better or highest blessing than the Lord himself. So that's very beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Thank you for your association.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Bol Vrinda Mataji.
Thank you so much for such a wonderful, wonderful class. So nice to hear the pastimes of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai with Krishna, little Krishna. Definitely Mother Yashoda is Mahabhaga. It's so wonderful pastime she had with Krishna. But this class definitely got us closer to Nanda Maharaj also, because as you said, we don't get to hear much about him. But it's so nice, like, to know about him, how simple he was. And one point I can take from today is he was generous in his love and devotion to Krishna. Like, especially me, in devotion, we go as per my own convenience. But we don't try to get generous. Like, I don't go out of my way. You know what? He's so generous. And that is a very beautiful point. Lord Nanda Maharaj. That is a lesson today, a point that I took from today's class.
Thank you, Mataji, for reminding. Thank you so much.
And that past time about Damodar Leela, what happens after Damodar Leela, I never knew. I never even read about it. We just hear about until what happens when he delivers those souls. But it's so sweet to know how Krishna was not even looking at Mother Yashoda, and he was always with Nanda Maharaj. I could imagine how Krishna would, you know, he would just turn away when Mother Yashoda comes and he would not talk to So cute. Thank you so much, Mataji, for explaining that.
That's actually, yeah, thank you, Vrinda Mataji. There's so much to it, you know, that whole day, how it passes is described in great detail in Gopal Champu.
And, okay.
It's very beautiful. Krishna says, I will not drink milk from her. And then Nanda Maharaja, so then whose milk will you drink? Say, I'll drink milk directly from the cow. And Nanda Maharaj will try to pacify him in various ways, telling that if you don't do this, I mean, if you don't again talk to Yashoda, then, you know, finally when he actually pacifies and he goes and catches up with his mother, is when Nanda Maharaj literally tells him that if you keep doing this, because Yashoda's crying all the while, right? Like she's not able to bear the separation from her child and she's so upset. So finally Nanda Maharaj says, then if you do this, Ma will have to, like that he does. And immediately he gets so scared and he runs to his mother and he patches up.
Is it like a big pastime, Mataji? Like, can we have one class on that?
Yeah. It's there in I'll probably also send, if it's okay, the recording of the previous year's Damodar Leela in Bhakti Sangha. That also touched upon it, but also there are definitely many lectures on it.
Okay, sure, Mataji. Thank you. And I don't know if I'm asking the same question. We know that from Krishna, from left side Radharani came, and from right side Balaram came. So Radharani is the internal potency, she's the source of the love. So it means that Mother Yashoda came after Radharani, right? So is it like the source of motherly love from Radharani itself, or she's the origin of Vatsalya love, like whatever? She's the source of Vatsalya. I don't know if I'm asking a good question here, if I'm explaining it properly. But I just got this question in mind, and I thought I don't hesitate to ask any questions to you, so I asked.
Actually, all of them are eternally present in the spiritual world as eternal associates only. And of course, yes, the Supreme Lord is Radha Krishna together. They are together. But when we talk about Vatsalya, when we talk about rasas, when we do rasa vichar, when we talk about rasas, especially with respect to relationships with Krishna, generally the rasas are not mixed up. Meaning the Madhurya rasa will stay as Madhurya rasa and Vatsalya will stay as Vatsalya. Meaning at least certain rasas are compatible and certain are not. So as far as we cannot really put Radharani in that bracket of Vatsalya for Krishna. Of course, she is the mother of the universe, meaning like how Krishna is the father of the universe, like that. But when we are talking about rasas with relation to Krishna, then there is no question of mixture of Vatsalya and Madhurya in one sense, meaning she will not fit in properly in that sense that she is the source of the Vatsalya. I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong, but at least for Yashoda, it will not fit in. Madhurya will not fit in, but there is another component to this, Mataji. Like generally, the rasas shared by Radharani, it is always complete. It is complete, meaning the Madhurya has all the other aspects in it. Okay? It has the aspects of Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya. It has the aspects of everything. It is the most complete rasa. But as far as the separate, I mean, like to say that Yashoda's loving relationship with Krishna is generally not very compatible with the loving relationship that Radharani has with Krishna, because that is Madhurya, right? So it does not fit in properly. So I don't know to answer this question specifically, but all that I can understand and I can tell you at this point is that all these rasas are eternal, and definitely for Vatsalya rasa, it is Mother Yashoda who is the epitome of Vatsalya rasa. So That's how it is.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you again for a wonderful class. Hare Krishna.
Anyone else?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Very, very nice class, Mataji. So beautiful. I am not like always present on Zoom, but I am getting like, I am able to listen to the recordings, and your classes are really wonderful, Mataji. Always I can feel that emotion in your words whenever you speak, and it goes so fluently, so nicely. We can like visualize whatever is going on. And it was always a doubt in my mind that Devaki, why Krishna came out of the womb of Devaki if he has to go to Yashoda Mai, and you have cleared that doubt today. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I like the scenery at the back of your, it's so beautiful. And one more thing I could see, like when you were speaking about Nand Maharaj, you became like sentimental, was it? So nice, like you are immersed in that feeling. Very great. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Sangeeta. Mataji, thank you for coming on the call and giving us your association. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Guru and Gauranga, and all glories to your service, Mataji. Absolutely brilliant class. Wonderful takeaways. The flow was very, very spontaneous, Mataji. The way with which you are taking one sloka at a time, that Parikshit Maharaj was saying. I mean, it's so beautiful, and everything is blended too well together. And when you were talking about Nanda Maharaj and Yashodama, I mean, of course, the point that you brought up, that they wanted to share this, the prema, to the whole world. And that was their intention and mood. And because of that, when you have such a brilliant intention, when such a liberal intention, God always gives you more than what you want. So again, that exemplifies their mood, and also it brings out their selfless nature, Mataji, because of which they are able to, I mean, because nobody is comparable to them. And that is because of your selfish intention. And that is why God is saying, please don't be envious upon anybody. It's not good for you. Again, it's not good for your spiritual progress. And we, we come with so much impressions, and that impressions have to go. So it does take a long time. And Lakshmi Mataji also brought up a great point on, I really love that also. And the wonderful class. I just wanted to parallelly compare it this to Uddhava, when he actually visited Nanda Maharaj and Yashodama. Lord sent him because he was lacking prema, and that was the intention for why he was sent to meet Nanda Maharaj and Yashodama, and finally the gopis too. But specifically that part where he went to meet Nanda Maharaj and Yashodama, the conversations that happened there, oh my God, they are just unbelievable, Mataji. I mean, in the sense, how Nanda Maharaj is expressing his feelings of lamentation, of separation from Krishna, I was taken aback, Mataji. That was really, I really don't want to take much of the time, but because of that time constraint, I don't want to talk much about it, but I really enjoyed that pastime. And specifically, I mean, Nanda Maharaj had so much to say to Uddhava, but finally he couldn't express anything. He couldn't send any kind of a message, because again, all he could do was think in his mind, oh, I'll do this, I'll do that. Why can't Krishna come for one day? I mean, I might die anytime. So many things that came out of him, and he expressed those thoughts. But comparing to Yashodama, when you look at Nanda Maharaj, he actually he respectfully treated Uddhava, he expressed his emotions. But on contrast, Yashodama, she couldn't do anything because her eyes was continuously dripping with tears. And she said, I don't want to see anything except the face of my son. And she kept her eyes closed and constantly drenching. I mean, the tears were constantly drenching her clothing. That was the mood of Yashodama. And because of that, she couldn't show any kind of paternal affection to Uddhava, and she could not send any kind of message to him also. Mm-hmm. That was the state. So when you compare Nanda Maharaj and Yashodama could not even, she was keeping her eyes completely closed. At least Nanda Maharaj was letting his emotions out. But I just wanted to bring this contrast in here, which very much aligned with what you were talking about, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a brilliant class. Amazing, Mataji.
Thank you so much for adding that. So beautifully you added that. And as you were talking, I was also reminded of yesterday's class of yours, where when we were talking about the other gopis, right, they were also very fortunate to have Krishna as their child for some time. The Vatsalya of the other gopis was also very beautiful, like towards the end of the class, after the Trinavarta pastime, as you were mentioned, they were taking the position of chastising Yashoda for leaving Krishna alone. So we can just see the mood of the other residents of Vrindavan who had similar feelings of affection towards Krishna. The same thing happened even in Brihad Bhagavatamrita when Akrura takes away in the spiritual world. We saw the past tense in the spiritual world, right? Before this. So in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, this Akrura taking away Krishna pastime was happening like a loop again and again. So at that time, the other gopis, they were going and chastising Yashoda, saying that, how can you just let your son go with that man? Have you gone mad? So definitely, they are such beautiful devotees, and how nicely they follow in this mode. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Radhika. Yeah, go ahead.
No, Mataji. One more thing to add is they don't look at the position of who's who. It's just the affection that's, here in the material world, we always think, oh, he's the CEO, so we should respect him. We should, we should not just bluntly talk to him, whatever. But there, even though Yashodama is the queen of Raja, the gopis, they chastise Yashodama. Yashodama, she's the queen, but she never took the chastisement personally. Instead, she was thinking, oh, did I do that? I mean, that was her mood. I was just like taken aback by that also. So looking at how they express their feelings out of love, and this has nothing to do with the position or the relationship to that particular person. So, wonderful, Mataji.
Very nicely said, Mataji. Very, very beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, if there are,
Hare Krishna Mataji, small question, Mataji. So, regarding what Radhika Mataji was saying, so did Yashodamai, I have not read so much, so I'm asking this basic question. Did Yashodamai ever had a chance to visit Krishna in Mathura or Dwaraka? Like,
now, they won't go there because the mood will get hampered. The mood of Dwaraka is a very different mood. So, by Yashoda wouldn't go, but definitely Nanda Maharaj to leave Krishna, that time he went, but then he returned back.
And again you mentioned, Mataji, like Nanda Maharaj used to go and pay taxes to Madhura. He used to go there to pay taxes. Did he do that again also, like after Krishna went, did he go regularly to Madhura, Nanda Maharaj?
Nothing of that is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So, even if we were, nothing of that is mentioned, Mataji.
Mataji? Hare Krishna, Mataji?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mataji, continue as to that question, Mataji. Mataji, we saw in Krishna book, right, that snake, that Vidyadhara killing where Yashodamaya, Krishna, everybody meets, right? That is after Krishna leaving only, right? Is that?
No, Krishna was there, no? When that snake came, and Krishna only saved Nanda Maharaj, right?
No, I mean, like, after Krishna left the Vrindavan, or again they meet there, or it was like before Krishna leave the Vrindavan, that was. They go to different place, right, Mataji?
But it is before only. They just go to the, which place was that? Banks of the river Yamuna, somewhere they were. Yeah, but it was when Krishna was with them.
Okay. I thought afterwards. Okay, Mataji. Thank you.
After they met in Kurukshetra later. They did meet in Kurukshetra later. All of them met. But specifically, Nanda Maharaj went while leaving, Krishna. there in Mathura when he had to leave him off that time, he accompanied, but after that there is no such mention.
Okay, Mataji, thank you so much. Hare Krishna, very beautiful class, Mataji.
Thank you, Vanya Mataji, for everything.
Mataji, one more doubt. Mataji, Radhika Mataji was mentioning about Uddhava coming and meeting Krishna. So, like, which book she is referring to, Mataji? Can I know that? The name of the book?
Radhika
Mataji? Mataji, I'm just talking about the Krishna book only, Mataji. Krishna book, chapter number 46 is Uddhava meets, Uddhava goes to Vrindavan before the gopis, separation of the gopis, song of the bee, I think.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji.
Sure,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I'm Dhanvat Pranam. I'm Swati Mataji from Charlotte. Thank you so much for the wonderful sessions, Mataji. Your sessions really, really helping us a lot. I'm really thankful to you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Swati Mataji. Thank you for coming on the call. Thank you for
And my daughter also, Mataji, Manaswini. She's also enjoying your sessions a lot, and she's started reading the books, and really it's a very change in our life, Mataji. Thank you so much for your sessions, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you so much to both of you. Thanks to both of you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you for the wonderful class and the beautiful background. And it's so nice to see you sitting there and talking about Mother Yashoda. It's like a perfect picture. Mataji, and thank you for all of the wonderful pastimes. I did miss several portions of the class, so I have to go back and listen to it again. Mataji, just one question, and I don't know if it was already covered, Mataji. So, in the spiritual world also, you said Nanda Maharaja and Yashoda Mata are Lord Krishna's parents, right? And so she is the, in between you are saying that she is the first mother? What is it? What do you call it?
She is the mother.
okay, because she is the Lord's mother, but Srimati Radharani is supposed to be like the mother of the entire universe, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Mother for all of us as the mother of the universe.
Okay.
The source of all the Lakshmis, like that.
Right.
But towards the Lord, her rasa is different, no?
Yes.
What I was trying to mean when I was answering Nanda Mataji's question.
Okay. Yep, thank you very much, Mataji. Wonderful class. Loved both the Nanda Maharaj pastimes and also Yashoda Mata. Oh, very beautiful how you explained about Nanda Maharaj's parental affection also. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Nanda Mataji. Thank you so much for your association on the call. Thank you. So, if anyone else wants to say anything, so then if there are no other questions or comments, we can end the call. Thank you all so much for being with us and giving us your valuable association. We've taken a lot of time, so we'll end the call here. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Klapa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Patrebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Ananda Koti Vaishnavarindhi Ki Jai
Jai
Pad Ki Jai.
Yes.
I'm saying something. What are you saying, Linda?
Mataji, I write until 100 years. I stop until 50.
What did you write?
1, 2, 3 is Mataji.
Oh, okay. Very good. Good job, Linda. Thank you. Vancha
Kalpatarubhyascha Klapa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Ananta Koti Vaishnavarindhi Ki Jai
Shri
Pad Ki Jai
Jai
Preeti Vilasini Mataji Ki Jai
Jai
Hare Krishna. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.